Shavua Tov and a good Tavach, Rabotai, Rabosai. Today is Daf Lamed in Samura. I am Rabbi Kalman Akiva Kovacs, filling in for Rabbi Silver this week. The big zechus to be here. We also have a sponsor today of Gobi and Shana Cohn. Right here. Good. Weekly sponsor is Maya Huffman in memory of her father, Reuven Ben Emanuel Zol. And the Shamash Aliyah and Talmud Torah sponsor is Yona and Shushi Ehrenfeld in memory of Yona's grandfather, Joseph Ehrenfeld, Yosef and Shmuel Aaron, Zecher Levrocha, the Shamash Shev Aliyah, and the family Einachama. Good, Rabosai. Today is Lamed, but we are picking up on Chavtes Amud Beis near the bottom, 29b, and we're actually in the middle of a very exciting sugya with a lot of important ramifications. So we're going to get a bit of a running start. If we recall, the title Mishnah of our Perek, Kol Asurin, it taught us Kol Asurin Legabe Mizbeach, Osrin B'Kol Shehen, HaRuveyav, and the Rebbe, so things that are Asur in Mizbeach, they're Asur any amount. And we talked about 2 days ago, on Friday, we talked about the Roveya and the Nirva, animals that were involved in a unkosher relationship, Hamuksa and Neva, we talked about on Shabbat, yesterday's daf, Hamuksa was set aside for Avodah Zara, and Nevad was actually prayed to. The Etnan is the famous Etnan Zono. We started yesterday, we'll wrap up today. Umechir, and Mechir is Kelev. So today's daf, we're going to learn about everything you wanted to know about dogs and the temple, but we're afraid to ask. We will answer your questions, God willing, today. But right now, we are wrapping up the sugya of the Etnan Zona. Zona is a halachic term of art. It's often used as an insult, but it is a halachic term that has, it loses a lot of the nuance in translation. So they often translate it harlot, but that's not the exact halachic definition of a zona, as we're going to see from the Gemara and the Rambam, God willing. So we are at the second to last line of 29b, and we're actually picking it up on a statement of Abaye. Abaye had taught us that in his opinion, the etnan of a non-Jewish zona was asur, while the etnan of a Jewish zona was mutter, meaning that if she was paid with an animal or something else that can go up on the Mizbeach, then that animal or those materials are still mutter to go on the Mizbeach as a carbon. And we had a kasha on Abaye. That kasha was, there's a braisa, echad zona evedes kochavim, whether it was a non-Jewish harlot, we'll say, echad zona yisraelis, or it was a Jewish one, it's nena osir. Whatever wage she received is osir to go up on the Mizbeach. So Abaye was mitaris that. But now we have a Lishna Achrina picking up where it says Lamed Aleph on the second to last line of 29b. You'll see it a lot in Tumura and also in Krisus, Lishna Achrina. There's different versions. And that means the Girsa was not so obvious or so fluid. You'll notice in the rest of Shas, we have a lot of Rishonim, Gaonim, who worked out what the proper Girsa in Shas should be. And so usually the text flows a lot better through most of Shas. But here we have a lot of different versions, variations. So here's another version of Abaye's answer to the Baraisa. So Lishna Acharina, second to last line on 29b, Ki Kataneha, when that Baraisa teaches that whether it's the etnan, the wage of a non-Jewish or a Jewish harlot, it's usher to come to the temple. Ha Be'arayus She'ein Kedushin Tovsin Ba. That Jewish woman they're talking about was an erva. She was usher for that man to marry. Usher to the point where there would not even be a kedushin if he tried to marry her. But you understand there's variations on the severity of arayos, of forbidden marriages, forbidden relationships, that some unions are usher with a chai, with a death penalty, with a chai of misa, and some are usher with karis, and some are simply a love. We would lash them. And we're going to see a chiluk there in the mainstream halachic opinion, if there's a death penalty or a karis, there can't even be a marriage. If somebody tried to marry his sister, he gave her a ring, he gave her money, that's not a marriage. He hasn't affected any sort of union with that. And there's actually a machlokas if she gets to keep the money because it was just a gift or not, but there was definitely not a marriage. But there are certain relationships that are less severe. We would say a Kohen to a divorced woman, he's not allowed to do that. But if he marries, a Kohen marries a divorcee, that marriage does take effect. Now, we're going to give him Malkus, and we're not going to let him have an Aliyah. We're not going to let him serve in the temple until he divorces her, or he takes a netter of Hana from her, as we've seen before. But that it does actually affect a marriage. So we're going to see a Chiluk here. So Abaye is saying that Braisa, which says the etnan of a Jewish zona is usur, that's only when the zona was not allowed to marry that man because there would not have been a kedushin. There was either a death penalty in that relationship or a karis penalty. So ein kedushin tovsin ba. Vaha katane sefer. But the sefer of that braisa had said almana le kohen gadol. So an almana, a widow to the kohen gadol is prohibited to marry her with a lav. But if he tries to marry her, it does work. And again, we're going to give him malchus and make them get divorced. Or a grusha v'chalutza, the kohen hedyot. Or a divorcee, or a chalutza. Chalutza here is not a pioneer in a kibbutz. She's one who did chalutza. She did chalitza, sorry. She removed the shoe, and they removed the shoe and did the spitting to remove the chiyuv of yibum, to remove the yibum. Now, interestingly, chalutza is treated as a grusha d'rabbanan. But all over Shas, they put chalutza and grusha together, even though grusha is deraisa, forbidden to a kohen, and chalutza seems it should be derabanan, but they always put them together, and it's tzurich ian why they get the same status, but it's not for now. So grusha, chalutza, the kohen, hedyot, these are also alav, but kedushin would be tovsin, they'd be able to get married. And the braisa brought these up as cases where the etnan of a Jewish zana would be usser, even though there would be a kedushin here. So etnana usser, it says. Bahahane, but these, as I just said, kedushin tovsin ba bahen. There would be kedushin if the kohen gadol married an omana or the kohen hedyot married a grusha. It's an iser lav, but the kedushin would be effective. They'd actually be mazel tov married. Now please get divorced. It's aser. Hamani. So who's this opinion? Turning over to the top of Lamed, Rabbi Elazar. This is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar only. Ze Amar. He says in his opinion, panui, a single man, habal panuya, who has an intimate relationship with a single woman, shelo l'shem ishus, not in the context of marriage or forming a marriage, asa zona. It makes her into a zona. So what's going on here is Rabbi Elazar says that there doesn't have to be an iser of lav, not even a lav, not even a karis or a capital punishment, that even having extramarital relations would render the woman a zona. And therefore, if he paid her for it, it would be etnan zona. It would be the wage paid to a harlot. So the Gemara asks, "E Rabbi Elazar, if this is really Rabbi Elazar's opinion, my iria almana. So why did the Baraisa have to then explain, for example, almana lekohen gadol? So an almana is one where it's not mutter, where there's a chayiv lav, where there could be a kedushin or bosai, but it's a lav. They should not be getting married in the first place. Nitne panuya. The Baraisa should only teach a panuya. That if it's Rabbi Elazar's opinion, even a panuya would be a problem of zona and of znus. Almana itzrich. So we have to say almana. Why? Sal kadai tachamina. We would have thought to say hoil binyan avhu, that since it's a binyan av, this is a halachic concept that it sets an example for everything else. So if it had taught panuya, would have thought it's only where it's mutter. That it, the Baraisa teaches panuya, and in Rabbi Elazar's opinion, it would be davka, a panuya, davka, a single woman who's having extramarital relations becomes a zona. But if it would be an usser union, they could not have been married, it maybe would not create a zona and an etnan zona. Binyanavhu, lo nitzteru, but it would, maybe an almana to a kohen gadol, a grusha chalutza kohen hedyot, or any sort of lav, would not be usser as an etnan zona. Kamashmalan, so we learn from the Baraisa that it's not just a panuya, in Rabbi Elazar's opinion, but even when there's a lav, even when it's a kohen to a divorced woman, that too would create an etnan if he paid her to be with him. That would create an etnan zona and create znus. Now, by the way, we don't paskin like Rabbi Elazar. It is a das yachid. But it turns out a very interesting thing that the way we paskin is it doesn't make a zona if they could have gotten married. Now, maybe the logic of Rabbi Elazar is, listen, if they could have gotten married, go ahead and get married. Now, I don't mean go throw a wedding. Now, throwing a wedding with 200 guests and $25,000 and everything, that's different. But getting married needs two edim, and the Rabbanan say you should have 10 men there to have a shechina, make sheva brachas and everything, make a suda. But to get married, it's not so complicated. So maybe Rabbi Elazar's logic, I'd love to ask him after Techiyas Amesim, but maybe his logic is, listen, they could have gotten married anyway, so go ahead and get married instead of engaging in extramarital relations. Whereas the Chachamim say, you know, if they could have gotten married, there's not an iser of getting married, so it doesn't create a zona. Now the Rambam paskins, he says, Ezehu etnan. What is the etnan? Omer lezona. Someone says to a zona, which we're just saying, just translating, you know, a woman who's available. Heilich, take this davar zeh bischarech for your wage. Take this animal for your wage. Take this material for your wage. And Rambam says, Echad zo nekutit. Kutit means non-Jewish woman. The kutim were a specific nationality, but this just means any non-Jewish woman. O shifcha, or she's a shifcha knanit. We're going to see. O yisraelit, or she's Jewish. And Rambam explains, shehi erva alav. A yisraelit, which is an erva alav, that he can't marry her. O michayve lovin, or it's a chayve lovin. He says, aval apnuya, afilu hu kohen, lo asazona the etnena is mutter. So if they could have gotten married and the relationship would have been mutter, it doesn't make etnan zona. That was the conclusion of the Gemara and the Rambam. And Rambam actually continues. He says if it was nasa achat michayve lavin. So for example, a kohen married a grusha, so he's now married to a chayve lavin and he pays her to be with him. So that counts as an etnan zona. Or basically, they're married, but they can still make an etnan zona because the relationship is a love. The relationship is not allowed to take place, even though there was a kedushin and they are married, mazel tov, but it's a love. They have to get divorced. And meanwhile, he can make an etnan zona, even though they're married, versus an unmarried girl where the relationship was mutter does not make an etnan zona. This comes up lemaisa. Kohanim can't marry a zona. And there are a lot of situations where a girl might have had a past history, and Cohen, who's a bachelor, who's dating, has to make inquiries and has to understand what the situation was. There's an amazing tshuva, and I did not see the tshuva inside, but I heard about it. It's a tshuva Rabbi Vadia, that there was a couple came before their rabbi, and they had been married for a few years and become balei tshuva. And he was a Cohen, and he had married this girl, and then they realized after learning Torah and learning the halachas that she had a history. She had been to college and she had been with somebody in college, but she wasn't sure if he was Jewish or not. So they came to their own rabbi and they said, we don't know, but whatever you paskin, listen, we want to be from, we want to do kedasa kedin, and if it's usur to stay married, we want to get divorced. We want to do what Hashem wants. So they were very dedicated to being balei tshuva. They were very sincere. So they sent it to Rav Avadia. Rav Avadia talked to them, found a heter, and he said, so listen, most of the people there were Jewish anyway. Probably it was Jewish. She had a chazakah of being kosher before she went to college. I'm about to say this might be a, you know, please, before you send your daughters to college, think twice. I don't know if that's the mussar here. But he found a heter in this specific situation, but it's a very serious shaila for a Kohen who's dating to be aware of the history of the woman he's dating. Now, outside the Gemara, they've done studies, they've done surveys that women who have not been involved before they got married reported higher satisfaction from their marriage and were much less likely to get divorced and end their marriage. So that's another consideration outside the Gemara. They also reported that women who regularly attended religious services, both partners have reported higher marital satisfaction. So if you're a Kohen, be careful who you marry. And if you are everyone else, bring your wife to shul, at least on Shabbos, you'll get higher marital satisfaction, according to surveys that they've done. So, but that's outside the Gemara. I can't confirm that at all. Good. So we're at the two dots. Omer lechaveiro. Beautiful. So this goes back to the Mishnah. Ha'omer lechaveiro. Halich tleze, and the Mishnah had said he's telling his friends, listen, take this tle and have your shivcha come to be with my evid. So he's hiring out a zona, not for himself, but for someone else. That's the pashtus of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, ha shivcha le'evid mishra sharya, but a shivcha kananis, a slave woman to live with an evid, it's actually mutter. And the Rashi here points out, Rashi says, I'll read it for you. Amayka amri rabbanan to have etnan. Why would the rabbanan say it's etnan? Halaysa tana de aser etnan hamuteris. There's no tana who users as an etnan a mutter relationship. Ela Rabbi Elazar lechudei. So it was only Rabbi Elazar who said panui habala panuya shloshim ishes asa zona and it's an etnan zona. So why would the rabbanan and the mishnah say that if somebody in Las Vegas told their friend, listen, I'm giving you this animal and I'm hiring your shivcha to live with my evid, why would the Rabbanan say that's etnan zona? So Amar Rav Huna, etzlo kamar. Rav Huna says, really, he's hiring it for himself, not for his evid. Vaha, dekatan the evid. And when the Mishnah says evid, lishna ma'aliyah kamar. It's really using a euphemism. He says, you know, I'd like to, excuse me, I've got the sheep here. I'd like to hire your shivcha for my evid. You know, he says like that. Or maybe what he means is, this is my reading, maybe he means he's an eved to his yetzer hara. This man is so enslaved to his yetzer hara, he's willing to hire out a shivcha. That's a serious problem. He's like an eved, so it could mean that. So, but we're gonna. That's not the what the Gemara is gonna go with. He says, "I hachi." The Gemara says, "If that's so, my time as a Rebbe. What would be the reason of Rebbe that it's mutter? Because that's an usher relationship for a normal Jewish man to live with a shivcha kananit. That's actually usher." Amar Shmuel bar Rav Yitzhak le'olam avdi. It's really his eved. He's really hiring a shivcha kananit to live with his eved, not with himself. The ki ketane be'eved ivri, but it's not an eved kanani like we might have thought. It's an eved ivri. It's a Jew who has been sold into servitude to pay off his debt. Now, if a Jew was impoverished, he could sell himself. Or if a Jew stole, the Bezdin would sell him to pay back the money he owed. And we're going to see which eved we're talking about right away. Ihachi, so if it's so that it's an eved ivri and a shivcha kananis, my time of the Rabbanan. What's the reason of the Rabbanan that say that's an etnan zona? It's a forbidden relationship. Because etnan zona comes out of a forbidden relationship. Shivcha le'eved ivri mishya sharye. A shivcha kananis for an eved ivri is also mutter. So we're going to explain, hacha b'mayaskina, what's the case where an eved ivri could live with a shivcha kananis, that his master could give over a shivcha to him? Kegon delesle isha banim. He was not married with children. This eved ivri was not previously married with children with a normal Jewish girl. The Tanya, the Braisa says, Ein lo isha ubanim. If he does not have a wife and children, Ein rabo moser lo shifa kananis. His master, who owns the rights to his labor that he's indentured to, cannot give him a shifa kananis to reproduce with. The point of giving him a shifa is to make more avadim, to make more the children of that union wouldn't be fully Jewish. They would have the status of an Eved Kanani. Yeshlo Isha Banim, Rabu Moser Lo Shifa Kananis. Only when he has a wife and children, his master can give to him, you know, can put him with a Shifa Kananis. The reason they get this halacha is Psukim, at the beginning of Mishpatim, that talk about Ki Tiknei Eved Ivri. When you buy an Eved Ivri, Sheish Shanim Yavod, Sheish Yetzei Lechov Sheish Chinam, seventh year he goes out for free. We actually give him gifts when he goes out. I want to clarify, an eved in halacha is not a slave, as that word is used in slavery in the antebellum South, where they treated human beings in a very inhumane way. A slave in Yiddishkeit, in Jewish law, we say that misha kana eved kana rabo. If you bought a slave for yourself, you've bought a master for yourself. Because supposedly, if you have one bed, who gets the bed? The slave. The slave gets the bed. If you have, if you're eating steak for dinner, you have to give your eved steak for dinner. So the translation of eved as a slave is sort of unfortunate. It's really, you own the rights to his labor, but you can't treat him badly. If a master hits his slave and does damage, knocks off a fingertip, an ear, a tooth, that slave goes free. We didn't have an indentured servant. Now there's a chiluk. That's even an eved kanani that halacha applies. An eved ivri is even less of an eved because he's fully a Jew. You can't make your eved ivri skip shacharis. You know, he has to daven, he has to go to the minyan, he has to be a mensch like a Jew. Even an eved kanani, we have to treat like a human being because he's a human being. Now you own the rights to his labor. You can make him work for you, but you have to treat a human being as a human being. So this avdus in halacha is not like avdus as we think of slavery in the non-Jewish world. It's not the same thing. But the pesukim say, with that introduction, the pesukim say im begapo yavo. If the Eved came in by himself, begapo yetze, he goes out by himself. Imbal ishahu, if he was married to a wife, biyatza ishtoimo, he goes out with his wife and his children, mashma also. And then the next pasuk, im adonav yitzen lo isha, if his master gives him a woman, this is a shivcha sahimo, biyalda lo vanim, and it's born to him sons, ovanos, or daughters, ha'isha viladecha tiela adoneha, that those children belong to the master, because they're the children of the shivcha kananis. But who yetzei begapo? And he goes out by himself. But really, by the smichus, by the juxtaposition of these two psukim, the rabbis learn out that only an eved ivri who already was married with children is eligible to be mated, as it were, with a shifa kananis to make more avodim. And there's an interesting reason I've heard. I can't remember which mefarsh I heard this from, but I heard the reason for this is if a Jewish man, if his first taste of marriage is with a shifa kananis, it will destroy his understanding of what a Jewish marriage should be. Because a shifa kananis, we learned elsewhere, she's not so careful. This girl didn't go to Beis Yaakov. She's not a nice Jewish girl. Baruch Hashem, she's living in a Jewish house, and we've put her in the mikveh, and she's starting to learn about Yiddishkeit while she's working for the Jewish family. But, you know, she's not the same thing as a nice Jewish girl that he would have married outside of this being an Eved context. So if that's his first taste of marriage, it's going to undermine his understanding of what a Jewish home should be like. But if he's already married to a nice frum girl from the Beis Yaakov, and then Nebuch, he had to be sold because he had to be sold, then we understand he already understands what a kosher marriage should be like. He already stands what it's like to be the head of a household, to be responsible for wife and children. So then to also have him mate with Shifcha Kananis on top of that is not going to undermine his understanding of what a Jewish marriage should be. And also this halacha only applies not just to an Eved who was already married, but also one who had to steal. He stole and the Beis Din sold him. If he sold himself into Avdus, he's not eligible to be mated to a Shifcha Kananis. So that was, Baruch Hashem, the sugya of Etnan Zona. There's a lot of intricate shilas that come up, Lamaisa, about Kohanim and about the Zona. I'm not Bucky in Znus, so please ask your local Orthodox rabbi if you're a single Kohen and a shila Lamaisa comes up. Don't paskin out of the Gemara. Don't reject a girl out of hand. There's an amazing shila that came up. There was a boy in Eretz Yisrael got engaged to an Ethiopian girl, and he was a Kohen. So Mr. Kohen got engaged to an Ethiopian girl. And most of the Ethiopians who came over to Eretz Yisrael, they had a gerus. They had a gerus, the suffek, that a lot of the poskim in that generation were not 100% clear if the Ethiopians were mamish, miuchas Jews. So because of that, the suffek, Rav Moshe said, they should get a gerus, the lowest level. Like, hey, just listen, throw them in the mikveh, it's not going to hurt, just to be on the safe side. So Mr. Cohen, Mazel Tov, got married to an Ethiopian girl. And everyone got worried. Wait a second. She had a gerus. Now, a gioris, a female convert, has the same status that a Kohen cannot marry a female convert. But what about the Ethiopian girl? So they looked around for Heter, and they asked Rav Avadia Yosef again, and he said, Mazel Tov, go ahead and do it. Because in his opinion, the Ethiopians were mamish Jews, didn't even need a gerus, and it was a formality. It was a formality so that the Israeli government would accept them fully as Jewish and, you know, satisfy all the opinions. And the Rav Moshe was worried. But in Rav Avadia's opinion, they didn't even need it. It was meaningless. So a Kohen shouldn't worry about marrying an Ethiopian girl. And they asked him, well, why'd you marry an Ethiopian girl? He said, I loved her. I didn't care about the color of her skin. She's a Jewish girl. I'm a Jewish man. Baruch Hashem. So Mazel Tov. So we see that there are important shilas, especially for Gohanim, but you see sometimes there are beautiful resolutions. Good. The Mishnah. This is a great Mishnah. Everything you want to know about dogs, but we're afraid to ask until now. Ezehu Mechir Kelev. What is the sale of a dog? Omer Lehavero. He says to his friend, Heilich Tleze, please take this sheep, Tachat Kelev, in exchange for your dog. So you bought a dog with a sheep. Now that sheep becomes Aser as Mechir Kelev to become a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ken, Shnei Shutfin, are two partners. Shechilku, now they're dividing their partnership. Echad Natal Asara, and one takes 10 sheep or 10 animals. Echad Tisha Vekelev, and the other one takes 9 sheep plus the dog. Shekinegeda Kelev, the ones that are opposite, the 10 sheep that are opposite that dog, are Asar. The Asar is Mechir Kelev, they can't be a carbon. You can eat them, of course, but they just can't go to the base of Mikdash. Sheima Kelev, the 9 that were with the dog that went to that partner, are Mutter, because they were not exchanged for a dog. Etnon Kelev, somebody, we're going to see who might do this, hired out a dog to live with a dog, God forbid. Mechir Zona, or somebody purchased a Zona. The Zona was a Kananis, and he bought her to, you know, to come to his house and do the dishes, something like this. He bought a Zona. Hare Elu Mitarin, that's Mutter, Shnemar, Shnaim, Velo Arba. The Pasuk actually says, Lo Tavi Etnon Zona, do not bring the hire of a harlot, Mechir Kelev, or the price of a dog, Beit Hashem Elokecha, to the house of Hashem, lekol neder, for any neder, ki to avas Hashem Elokecha, gam shnehem. So the shnehem is lashon shnayim, is just two. So if you also had Etnon Kelev or Mechir Zona, there would actually be 4. Beautiful. Vlado Tehen and their offspring, the children, mutarin, those are mutar, because it says hen, the girl should be hem. Velo Vlado Tehen, shnehem, it's only those things themselves, the animal themselves. Which was exchanged for the dog or to the harlot, that's Aser, not their children. Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Mechir. So first of all, why would a Kelev be Aser? Why would the exchange of a Kelev be Aser to come to the Mizbeach? So there's a lot of good reasons given, and I'll give you a couple. The Sefer Chinuch says, kelev is oz panim, a kelev is brazen. Klavim, dogs, they bark, and they're audacious. They'll come right up to you and bark at you, you know, and they're try to, you know, smell you. And a carbon, the Indian of a carbon is anava. If a person made a mistake and has to bring a carbon, Rabbi say, so he wants to be humble, he wants to humble himself, and the Gemara teaches a person bringing a carbon should look at it as if the animal being sacrificed is like himself being sacrificed. So he's saying, you know, the Reuven who did the chet, he should be sacrificed, and this carbon should take his place and be mechaper for him. So that's anava. He's trying to be humble and come back to Hashem. That's kind of the opposite of a dog. That's the chinuch. The Meshech Chochma says that the idol worshippers used to have a relationship with their dog and then bring their dog as a carbon, sort of, oh, look what I did to their Avodah Zarah. Have their Avodah Zarah be proud of them. They would live with their dog and then bring their dog as a carbon to their Avodah Zarah. So that's a person who might hire a dog is a non-Jew. The Oznaim Latorah of Saratkin says a couple good reasons. Dogs betray other animals. Other animals are either in the wild or they're domesticated. Dogs get domesticated and then they help the humans hunt after other animals. So they sort of betray their own kind. Mashain Ken, the animals we bring as sacrifices are all domesticated animals that are very gentle, that don't hunt, they're not meat eaters. So it's sort of the opposite of the animals we normally bring as carbonos. He brings another reason that a lot of people spend a lot of time and money on their dogs or on their pets, that maybe that money should have gone to an almana or a yasim, to tzedakah. Maybe that time and energy should have been spent on mitzvahs and not on pets. So not poskening here, but there's an interesting Gemara in Bava Kama Pei Gimel. And it's a pasuk we say when we put the Torah back. We put the Torah away, we say, Shuvah Hashem Rivifos Alfei Yisrael. And there's amazing Gemara. So they say that the Shechina is Shore on 22,000 Jews. Why? Because Rivavos is 20,000 and Alfei is 2,000. So if you have 22,000 Jews in one place, you have a special Hashras Shechina, a special revelation of divine spirit there. So what if you had 21,999 Jews and one pregnant woman? And then Nebuch, she had a miscarriage because she was scared by a dog. So they bring, in Bava Kama, the dogs have to be chained up. They have to be in a leash during the daytime when people are around. And you can only let them out at night because you're worried about robbers, you're worried about attackers coming into the city. So that's when it's mutter to let the dogs out because otherwise they're going to bark and scare a pregnant woman. She's going to, God forbid, miscarry. And you won't have 22,000 Jews in one place. And it will remove the Shechina from Eretz Yisrael, from Yisrael, from among Jews, just to have a dog barking at a woman. Which sounds very, you know, it sounds a little spooky, and it sounds very anti-dog. The Maharshal there says, in his day, they had dogs. Their custom was to have dogs around. Because first of all, they lived among non-Jews, and some of them, there could be bandits and robbers. So it was good to have the dogs for protection. It was practical. And he gives another reason that the dogs they have nowadays were like Kelev Kufri, which Rashi says over in Bava Kama, is a smaller domesticated dog. So he says the dogs we're worried about are large attack dogs. You're supposed to understand what a pit bull is. A dog that's made for attacking and is scary and is loud and the bark is worse than the bite, but the bite is also bad, that would be Asur. But a dog that is a Kelev Kufri is a small, domesticated, friendly dog. Maybe it would be Mutter. That's the Maharshal. I'm not paskening if you can get a dog or not. Consult your local Orthodox veterinarian for the ins and outs of pet ownership. But those are some reasons that a dog, the exchange of a dog, might be Asur to come to Zbeach. Good. Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan Mechir. So what does it mean, Mechir? Mechir Kelev Zeu Chalife Kelev. That's the exchange made for a dog. Kenhu Omer Timacher, there's a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Timkor Amacha Belo Hon, you've sold out your nation without making a fortune. Vlo Rebisa Bimechirehem, you haven't made a profit on their mechir, on their sale. So you see it's a lashon of sale. So Ema Etnan Mamesh, the Gemara's suggestion, maybe when it says Mechir Kelev, right next to Enon Zona, it says Enon Zona Mechir Kelev, maybe it means the same thing. Maybe it means that the non-Jew is trying to hire out your dog, God forbid. So Etnan Mamash, like Etnan Zona. So the Girsa here is a little tricky. So we'll skip the parentheses. It says Mikam Rinan. So Zona Mikam Rinan, Anan Etnan Umechir. Does it say Etnan Umechir? Buzak actually says, it says Etnan Zona Umechir Kelev. It doesn't put Etnan and Mechir together. It doesn't say Etnan Umechir. etnan velo mechir. So it really means an etnan zona, the wage for a harlot, and not mechir, and not the sale price of a dog. Kam rinan. Imken, ne makra lo tavi etnan zona vekelev. So if you're going to tell me that it means the animal paid to hire out a dog, it should say etnan zona vekelev. It should say the price of a zona and a kelev. But midichtiv, since the pasuk writes etnan zona umechir kelev, is two different things. Shema bina, they're two different things. And if, God forbid, an idol worshiper paid to hire out a dog, that would not be usser, because it's an etnan kelev, not a mechir kelev. Veshutvim shechilku, the partners that divided. I mean, it sounds like the beginning of a joke. Two guys with 19 sheep and one dog walk into a bar, and then they divide them up. But it's not a joke, Rabbi Yosai. So the suggestion that Gemara gives is nepuk chada lahadikova. So the person who got 10 sheep, why doesn't he just take out one sheep to be opposite the dog? V'hanach kululishtri. And the other 9 sheep should be mutter. So if you have 10 sheep on one side and 9 sheep and the dog on the other side, no, so we'll take out one sheep and call it aser, because that one was against Keneged, the dog, when they divided up. And the other 9 sheep should be totally fine to go on the Mizbeach. Hacha b'mayis kinam, what are we dealing with here? Kegon te tafei Dame Kelev Michad Minahu, that the value of the dog was more than the value of each of the 10 sheep. So the dog might have been worth $300 and the sheep were all worth $200 each. So that value of the dog was not accounted for just by separating one sheep to be usher. Hai Tinufa de Kelev, and this filth of the dog, this sort of spiritual contamination of the value of the dog, Shadi Bekulhu, it spreads over all 10 of the animals that were divided up against the dog to be when the partnership split up. Good, 2 dots. Etnon kelev mechir zona mutter. Somebody hired out a dog or purchased a zona to work for him. That would be mutter to come to the base of Mikdash. Amr le rava miparzokya le ravashi. Turning over to Ahmed base. So he says, minoha milsa, how do you know? To Amr Rabbanan, how do you know this thing that the rabbi said? Ein znus lebehema. There's no concept of znus with an animal. What this means is, if, God forbid, a woman was involved with an animal, that doesn't actually make her a zona. It doesn't make an etnan zona, doesn't make her a zona. She's actually not usher to a kohen. You could have a situation, God forbid, where a woman was somehow involved with an animal, she's still mutter to marry a kohen. But if she was, God forbid, involved with somebody that she can't marry, she cannot marry a kohen. So an animal, a relationship with an animal, gzeres hakasuv, the Torah says, does not make her into a zona. Amr le, lo nishmot kro, the pasuk did not omit lichsov etnan zona vekelev, because the pasuk didn't say etnan zona vekelev. It didn't say the hire of a zona and a kelev. It didn't put them together. They're two different inyanim. It's etnan zona is different from mechir kelev. It's not etnan zona and a kelev. Tani namihachi, there's a brisa that supports this. Minayin la etnan kelev mechir zona shimutarin. How do you know these things are mutter? Shnemar. Base velo dalid, because it says shnehem. Shnehem is 2. Shnayim velo dalid. It doesn't say 4 different things. There's only 2 distinct things. Etnan zona is aser, and mechir kelev is aser, and not vice versa. And vladutehen mutarin, and their offspring are mutter. Shnemar, because the pasuk says gam shnehem. Only the 2 of them, hem velo vladutehem, and not their offspring. So if somebody traded a sheep for a dog, that sheep can't go on the Mizbeach, but if that sheep has a child, the child of that sheep could go up on the Mizbeach. Amarava vladanir bat, but what about the offspring of an animal that, God forbid, was lived with a human being? He says that is asura, talking about the animal was pregnant at the time. Hi uvladanir bu, it's as if the mother animal and the fetus animal inside were both violated by the man. And so too, a nogachas. Nogachas is a gorer, an animal that attacks with his horns or pushes with his body and kills someone or wounds somebody. That's asura hi uvlada. The female animal and the offspring inside are both asur. Hi uvlada naku, because her and the offspring both gore. Do you understand? The offspring adds mass, which adds momentum to the attack. It takes part in the attack of the mother by being there inside her body. Vlad muksa v'nevan mutter, but he holds the Vlad muksa, and muksa is not just on Shabbos, Rabbi Yosai. Muksa means set aside. It's something we don't use on Shabbos. That's how we usually use the word muksa. But here it means set aside, that they're going to use it for a avodah zarah. It's an animal that they're fattening up to bring as a carbon to an idol. And a nevad is an animal that was actually prayed to, as we talked about on yesterday's daf. That would be mutter if the offspring inside, if the animal was pregnant. My taima le'ime akse, the idol worshippers wanted to set aside the mother for idol worship. Or they prayed to the mother animal. They weren't praying to the fetus animal inside. Or another version has Vlad Muksav Nevad Asur, that also the offspring of an animal that was set aside for Vodazar or prayed to is Asur, my taima, denichale, the idol worshippers like it, benifke, that the animal is more fattened up, that the female animal is more plump. They would rather pray to a plump animal than a skinny animal. Amar Rav Chodvoy bar Ami Amar Rav Hamakodesh beperish shorin niskal mikudeshes. So now kedushin, Rabbi Yosai, kedushin is accomplished with kesef shtar bia. And interestingly, the Rabbanan say with money or with a shtar to owe money, or also with intimate relationships, can also accomplish a kedushin. The rabbis got together with all the Goldsteins and the goldsmiths and the goldmachers, and they petitioned the I'm making this up, Rabbi Yosai. They petitioned the rabbis that we should not do kedushin through bia anymore because we want to sell rings and jewelry to do kedushin with that. But so we, the rabbanim, we don't do that anymore. It's not a nice thing to do. But we can be mekadosh with anything that's shava pruta, anything that has financial value. So here, a man is being mekadosh isha with perish shora niskal, with the fertilizer that came out of an ox that was to be stoned. Now, an ox that's to be stoned is asar behana. You can't have any financial benefit from that ox. So if he was trying to mekadosh her with that ox, it wouldn't work. But with the fertilizer that comes out of that ox, it's mekudeshes. It does work because that has financial value. But if he uses beperish egle avodah zarah, if he uses the fertilizer that came out of the calves of avodah zarah, eina mekudeshes. That has no financial value. It's asar behana. My taima. The reasoning you could say is a pasuk or a logical reason. If you want to tell me it's a logical reason. Like we said, the idol worshippers would rather worship a nice, plump, fat animal. So if it has more fertilizer still inside the animal, they like that. So therefore, the fertilizer that was inside the animal that comes out later in its waste, so they wanted to have it there when they did avodah zarah, so that has value to the as an avodah zarah. Gabi shoranisko lo nichalei benifchei. A shoranisko, we're going to execute this animal anyway. This animal murdered somebody or was involved in roveya venirba with somebody, God forbid. So we're going to execute it anyway. We don't really care how much waste is still in the animal. Ibai se mikra, you can say it's a pasuk. Gabi avodas kochavim ksiv, by idolatry, it's written, hayita cherem kemohu, it will be banned. Cherem is lashon of banned. Like it. So what comes out of an Avodah Zarah situation is banned, just like the Avodah Zarah itself. Kol sheta mihyeh mimenu, anything you get out of the Avodah Zarah, harehu kamohu, it's also banned like the Avodah Zarah. Gab shor nisko ksiv lo yachal et besaro. But by shor nisko, it's also behna, but it says do not eat its meat. Besaro asur pirsho mutter. But the fertilizer coming out of shor nisko is actually mutter, it's only the animal itself. We're gonna throw rocks at it, stone it, and bury it so no one can take it. We can get that. Now, does fertilizer really have value? So I have an Israeli friend who years and years ago, he was backpacking in the Sinai, and his guide was a Bedouin. And the Bedouin all day was collecting dried out dung of animals. There's no firewood in Sinai. There's hardly any plants. There's no firewood to speak of. So the Bedvi was collecting dried out pellets, and then at night they use that to make the campfire and cook their dinner. So it actually has a value, particularly in Sinai, to have the dung of animals, or it could be, of course, fertilizer. It has a financial value, and you can make kodesh, get married with anything that's shavikesev, anything that has financial value. Good, Mishnah, Natan lo maus. So this is back to the Esnan Zona. He gave her money. Hare elu mitarin. So if he gave her money, it's mutter for her to buy an animal to use as a carbon. Yenot, wines, shmanim, oil, slatot, or flour. Solat is the fine flour that they would use in the Mizbeach. The kol davar, shikiyot sebo, and anything which is similar to this, anything you use that's karev al gabei Mizbeach, that's brought on the Mizbeach, it would include even water that was fit to be a water libation during Sukkos, or even in the Bikurim, things like this. Usser, she cannot bring this to the Mizbeach. Natan la mukdashin, if he gave the zona as her wage something, an animal that's already sanctified. We're going to see in the Gemara what kind of animal this is. Hare elu mutarin, that's still mutter to come to the Mizbeach. But it was ofot, it was birds that were not sanctified. Hare elu asurin, they are asur to bring as a carbon. Shai beninu, you might have thought it's logical the other way around. Ma'im mukdashim, a kodesh animal, a real animal, that was already nikdash that he gave to the zona. Shehamum posel behen. It's an animal that becomes posel to come to the temple if it has a mum. Ein etnan and mechir chalalehem. But etnan and mechir, they're putting them together. The Mishnah so far only said etnan. They're putting the same category as mechir, that a mechir also would not be chal if you traded a already mukdash, previously consecrated animal for a dog. It also would not change the status of the previously consecrated animal. So etnan the mechir is not chal on them. Oaf, she'ein amum posel bo, ein udin, so an oaf, a bird, that a mum does not wipe out a bird from being a korban, it also shouldn't get the status of etnan zona umechir kelev. But a bird, of course, has to not be missing a limb. If a bird is missing a whole leg or a whole wing, that can't be a korban. But if the bird simply has a mum, we have a lower standard by birds that we allow even a bird with a mum to come into the temple. But an animal has to have, best to be mum-free. Good. Enodin, shelo yehei etnan nemechir chal alav. So a bird, you would have thought, an etnan nemechir should not be chal on it because a bird does not get puzzled with a mum. Tam lomar lekol neder. For any neder, the pasuk said, lahavi et ha'of. That includes even an oaf, which can be brought as a neder. The mission continues, kol asurin nagabi mizbeach, anything which is asur to come to mizbeach, like our title mission of the parak had said, vlado tehen mutarin, their offspring are mutter. But Rabbi Eliezer amar, vlad trefa lo yikrov. Rabbi Eliezer says the offspring of a trefa cannot come al gabei mizbeach, cannot be a carbon on the mizbeach. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus omer kesheira. Sheirish yankam in a treifa, a kosher animal, not a treifa, but it nursed from a treifa. So now it has treif milk in its stomach. Pesulam el gabei mizbeach, it's puzzle to go on the mizbeach. Bosei, is there a famous person in Jewish history who was also never yanka from the treifa? Anyone know? I heard a few answers. Achashverosh, maybe was a. I heard a Moshe Rabbeinu back there. Moshe Rabbeinu, famously, the egg would not nurse from a mitzri. And that's why he was never, the Chazal explained, the lips that would speak with the Shekhinah could never imbibe milk that was from a not kosher source, from a mother that ate shkatzim or mashim. So this is why they had to, amazingly, hire Yocheved to be the wet nurse for her own son. It's how Hashem makes Jewish history work. It's just so beautiful, the brachas that Hashem shows us. That Moshe Rabbeinu, destined to speak of the Shekhinah, would not drink from a treifa, would not drink from milk that was made out of treifas. So they hired his own mother to be the wet nurse, so he'd only drink kosher milk. Mamish, this is the first makor for Chalav Yisrael. Good. So in his opinion, even a kosher animal that drank from a treifa, that should not go on the Mizbeach, because they're bringing the treifa milk also. Good. Kol ha-kodshim shenasu treifa, any kodshim that became a treifa, ein podinosan, you don't redeem them. Why? She'ein podin et kodshim. You don't redeem kodshim la'chilon leklavim, just to feed it to the dogs. It's be disrespectful, Rabosai, to have a kodesh animal. This animal was supposed to be an ola. Nebuch, it became a treifa. So you're not going to be podin it. You're not going to buy it back just to feed it to your dogs. It's disrespectful for the kedusha. Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught us, natan lachitim. What if you gave her kernels of wheat? Not you guys. You guys come to Daf Yomi. You're not going to hire Arizona. But somebody hired his owner with kernels of wheat, v'asatan solet, and then she ground the wheat very well to make it solet. Or zaitim, he gave her zait, he gave her olives, asan shemen, and she made them into olive oil. Anavim, v'asan yain, he gave her grapes, and she made wine with it. You gave her lemons, and she made lemonade, would be huadin. Tanei choda asurim, so one teacher says that's asur, to come to the bech. Tanei idach mutari, the other one teaches mutter. Amar of Yosef, Tane Gurion, demin aspork. Rashi says aspork is the name of a place. That's actually where the spork was invented. Beis Shammai Oshim. He says Beis Shammai says it's usher, even though she changed its form. Beis Hillel Matirim. And Beis Hillel says it's mutter now to bring to the Mizbeach. She had wheat kernels. She made it into a new entity. She made it into something new. Panim Chadasher Zbao Lekan, he would say. Beis Hillel Savrei Hem. It says Shnehem. Hem. Velo Velado Tehem. Hen Velo Shinu Yehem. Hem means not just their offspring are mutter, but even if you changed its form, that's mutter. Beis Shammai Savri Hem, v'lo v'lado sehem, that Hem excludes their offspring. The Gam, it says Gam Shnehem in this Pasuk, l'rabus Shinuyehem, that includes, if he made a Shinui on those wheat kernels, ground them into solus, she cannot bring those as a korban. L'beis Hillel Kaksiv Gam, Beis Hillel, it's written Gam in that Pasuk. Gam l'beis Hillel Kasha. So that word gam in the pasuk is a kasha on Beis Hillel. It's not a tifta, we paskin like Beis Hillel. But amazingly, Rabbi Rashi on Chumash, on this pasuk, is mefarsh like Beis Shammai. Rashi says, Gam is the Rabos Shinuyehem. That's what Beis Shammai holds. Ramban says, Rashi, how could you write that? That's not the halacha. The Mizrahi says, listen, our Gemara has a kasha on the sheet of Beis Hillel, so maybe it could be that Rashi held like Beis Shammai. That's very difficult to say, so maybe it could just be, it could mean, I'm not going into Mizrahi, God forbid, but it could mean that the Rashi said, well, the Mefarish of Beis Shammai sounds more like the Pashuk Pshat of the Pasuk than the Perish of Beis Hillel. So maybe that's what could it mean. But the Gam is a kasha, so we want to ask Beis Hillel, after Tzuchias and Mesim, what they would do with this kasha. Toner Banon, Beis Hashem Elokecha, it says you can't bring these things, this Etnan Zon Mecher Kelev, to Beis Hashem Elokecha, Prot Lepara, this excludes a Para Aduma, Shein Ba Labayis. A Para Aduma does not go to the Beis Mikdash. Anyone know where you bring a Para Aduma? Beautiful. Harizesim in the front row, Shkoyach. Harizesim, we bring it opposite the Beis Hamikdash, and they can look through the doorway, through the gates of the Beis Hamikdash, to Harizesim and see the makam where they shecked the Paraduma and burn it there and prepare it. But it's not actually brought in the Beis Hamikdash. Actually, it has the Kedusha of Bedek HaBayis, not the Kedusha of a Korban. So this Beis Hadash HaMekecha excludes the Paraduma. So if a Zona received a Paraduma as her wage, which is a very expensive animal, they would be able to use it still as a para aduma because it's not a karban in the base Hashem Elokecha. Good. Divi Rabbi Elazar. That was the words of Rabbi Elazar. Hachamim Omrim, the Rabos es harikuyin. They say this base Hashem Elokecha excludes rikuyim. These are plating that you put on a gold plating, put on the Mizbeach. So if she got gold for her schar, you can't use that for gold plating for the Mizbeach. Man Chachamim, who are these Chachamim? Am Rav Chista, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehudahi. That's Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya that he learned, teaches in a Braisa, not on La Zahav. He gave a Zona gold, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, and Osin Rikuyin. You don't make gold plating for the temple out of this. Afilu Achre Beis HaBaruches. You can't even use, if you gave her stones, Rashi explains, you can't use this to build the part of the temple behind the Beis HaBaruches. So the part of the temple that's behind the building, you know, the part of the shul way behind the building, it's not so Kaddish, you know. So Rashi says, the part of the temple that was that 11 amos behind the temple, not in the chatzar itself. I mean, it's inside the chatzar, but it's behind the Kodesh Kodashim, outside the building. It's not so Kodesh. You might have thought you could use stones that were given to a zona to build that, but you can't, in Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda's opinion. Good, two dots. Natan la mukdashin. He gave her a sanctified animal. Hare elu mutarim. It's still mutar to be brought as a carbon. It's pre-sanctified. V'yu mukdashin etnan. But why don't these already sanctified animals have the Isser of Etnan Zona, Mechir Kelev, take hold upon them? And now they should be Asar Mikal V'chomer, from the Kal V'chomer, like we brought in our Mishnah. Ma Ophos, what about birds? She'ein Mum Posel Bahem. A Mum, again, does not disqualify birds. Only a missing limb would disqualify birds from being carbon. Etnan Mechir, Chalalehem, but they can get the status of an Etnan or a Mechir Kelev. Mukdashin, an animal that's been sanctified, shemum poso b'hem, if he gets a mum, can't be used as a carbon. Einudin, she'etnan l'mechir chal aleihem. Wouldn't it be the logical, based on the comparison to birds, that they can be usher due to etnan u'mechir? Talmud lomar, to exclude this line of reasoning, the Braisa teaches, l'kol neder, l'chotzi es hanadur. L'kol neder is something you're going to vow, which excludes something that's already nadur, already pre-vowed. If it's pre-sanctified, it cannot become usher as an etnan or a mechir kelev. Taima de miatinu kra. So the only reason it does not run into this problem is because the pasuk has excluded it. Ha lo miatinu kra. If the Torah had not excluded it, havamina ki yachiv la mukdashin chalehim etnan mechir. You would have thought that if he gave the zona or he gave the owner of the dog his previously sanctified animal, that it would have become disqualified als etnan zona mechir kelev if we didn't have this pasuk to help us out. Ha lav mamonahu. But if he's already sanctified the animal, Rabbosai, it's not his. Once you've sanctified an animal, we had on Shabbos Zedav, we had in many places in Shas, the concept amirasu legevoha, just saying it, verbal designation to the temple, kimirasu lechedyot, is like giving it over mamish into the rishus of a normal person. That when you verbally designate something as a carbon, the temple already owns it. The temple already has rights in it. It's not really yours anymore. So it's lav mamonahu. He shouldn't be able to give it over as payment for a dog or a zona. Amar of Hoshia bim mamane al pischa. What are you talking about? When he counts her in on his carbon Pesach. Rabbosai, if you have a carbon Pesach, you can sell shares, you include other people in your Pesach, if you have enough meat to feed 50 people. We're going to see if you only need to feed 10 people in your own house, and you can invite 50 people and have them pay money. We're going to see Rabbi Isaiah in the Gemara. You can have them pay money to be counted in on your Pesach carbon. Rebbe he, and this is the Shita of Rebbe. The Tanya, there's a brisa about the carbon Pesach. Im yimata bayit miot mise. If the house is too small for a say, so your household, maybe with 10 or 12 people, can't consume an entire carbon Pesach, even a small one. Chayyaso mise, have it get livelihood, have it get chiyus from the say. Mikdei achila, in order to get money for food. So what you would do is you would sell portions in your say. You have 50 portions in your sheep, you can sell 40 more portions to other people to come and take part in your carbon Pesach, and they'll pay you some money for it. You can use that now to buy your matzah and maror. Below mikdei mikach, but not, you shouldn't buy other things with it. Rebbe Omer, off mikdei mikach, you'd even buy other things from the money that you got for counting other people in on your carbon Pesach, for selling shares in your carbon Pesach. She'im ein lo mimenu. If he doesn't have enough people to eat his carbon Pesach, mimane acherim imo, he can count other people with him, all pischo, all hagigaso. If he has a carbon Pesach, carbon chagiga, he can sell shares in it to other people who can take part in that now. And he gets that money, he can use the money for everybody he wants. Ma'os of chulin, and the ma'os is chulin. Sha'almanat ken, that on this condition, hikdishu Yisrael pischehem, that the Am Yisrael is makadish the Pesach, on condition that they can sell shares in their carbon Pesach to whomever they want and use that money for chulin purposes or to buy their tzorach for the Seder. So in this case, what happened is the Zona needed to get in on a carbon Pesach, and she didn't have any cash, and this is a very from Zona. And she needed a carbon Pesach, and she was willing to sell herself to be counted in on a carbon Pesach. I'm not recommending anyone do this, but if this was actually done, then that carbon Pesach is still a valid carbon Pesach, and the Zona comes to the Pesach Seder. You guys thought your Pesach Seder was strange. So this one has a Zona in it. Baruch Hashem. Okay, two dots. Kol Yisroim Negami Mizbeach, we say, Vladu Tehim are Mutter. Amar Rav, Kol Yisroim Negami Mizbeach, Vladu Tehim Mutarin, their offspring are Mutter. V'tanei Allah, Rabbi Eliezer, Oser. Rabbi Eliezer says their offspring are Oser. Amar Rav Huna, Bar Chinina. Rav Huna says, from Amar Rav Nachman, Machlokis, She'ibru b'lasof nibiyu. The machlokas is when the animal was already pregnant and then was violated. Rabbi Eliezer savar ubar yerich imohu. Rabbi Eliezer says this ubar, the fetus inside the mother animal, is like a limb of the animal. And now all the limbs of the mother animal are usher, also being violated. So too, the fetus is usher inside. Rabbanan savre lav yerich imohu. They hold the fetus as an independent entity. It does not count as a mere limb of the mother animal. Of all nirba'u, if the animal was violated with a sof ibru and then became pregnant after that, divrei kol mutarin, then both Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan should agree that the animal is mutter to be a carbon. Rava amar, but Rava has a different reading, that he says machlokis kashenirbu. Machlokis is where the animal was violated with a sof ibru and then afterwards became pregnant. So Rabbi Eliezer savar zeve zegorim asr. Rabbi Eliezer holds that if you have two causing factors, and one is usser and one is mutter, the offspring is usser. And what happens here is the father animal is giving his seed to make the baby animal, but the father animal is mutter. Only the mother animal was violated and is usser because she's a nirba. But zeva zegorim, Rabbi Eliezer holds his usser. Rabbanan savre, zeva zegorim, mutter. They would hold the offspring is mutter. Aval ibru, if the animal was already pregnant, levesof nirbu, and then was violated, they would all agree, according to Rava, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan, that the offspring is aser to come to the Mizbeach. Rava Lataime. And Rava goes after his own reasoning to Amar Rava, Vlad Nirbat Asura, that the offspring of a violated animal is aser to come to the Mizbeach. He uvlad nirbu. It's as if the animal, her, and her offspring inside were both violated. And Vlad Nogachat, as we had before in this stuff, the Vlad of a goring animal, aser. It's as if he uvlad naku, as if the fetus gored along with the mother animal at the same time. Lishna achrina, another version, again with the lishna achrinas here. Amre la, they said about this. Amar Rav Kuna bar Chinina, Amar Rav Nachman machlokis kashin nirbu. The machlokis is when the animal was already pregnant, kashehen muktoshin, when it became violated, when it was already holy as a carbon, it was already set aside to be a carbon. Rabbi Lezer savar bizui milsa. It's now disrespectful to Hekdesh that a Hekdesh animal was violated. We can't bring this as a korban. Banan Savre, though, they hold it's not Bizui Hekdesh. The animal was already holy, and it stays in its holiness. Aval Nirbe'u, kasha hen chulin, but if the animal was violated when it was a chulin animal, a non-sanctified animal, ho'ovishtanu, since it becomes changed later into a sanctified animal, divrei kol mutarin, they might agree that it's mutar. Rava amar Rav Nachman, but Rava says, machlokes kashanirbu, machlokes is when the animal was violated, kasha hen chulin, when she was a regular non-sanctified animal. Rabbi Eliezer savar bizui milsa, Rabbi Eliezer says it's going to be a bizayon, a disgrace to the temple to sanctify such an animal and bring it. They would hold, since it's now changed from a chulin animal to a kochim animal, it now would be mutter. Aval nirbu, kashahen miktoshin, but if it got violated when it's already muktosh, divrikol asur, they would agree that the animal is usur. So, in the of shach, we don't want to bring an animal that has been violated as it's a bizayon. We want to bring the animals that are the best and the brightest to be our karbanos. So we want to give Hashem our best and our brightest. When we daven, it's as if we're bringing carbon. We want to be up and awake. Thank God we have coffee. We want to be up and awake and give our best to Hashem. Shkoyach Rabosai. Thank you.